There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Forever Dog.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Oh,
yes.
My goodness. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
You went up with the lilt.
I felt musical.
Yeah.
And I, can I say something?
Please. You always ask for permission and you always have it.
Thank you for giving me the permission either way.
Yeah.
I have been in LA now for some time, performing a lot less.
Oh.
Like, this is the thing with, like, I feel like you come out to LA when you're, I'm a New Yorker.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I'm performing all the time, getting on every show, every show. Here in LA, I'm in fucking bed at literally 9:30 p.m.
Because that's the L.
And I think I like it better that that's the L, honey. It's actually roller coaster number 9. That's the L, honey. I think I like being a person who goes to bed early and gets up early as well.
So that's what you're
doing. I think I like this culture because in New York, I am fully up until 2 o'clock in the morning. And if I wake up at 11:45 and catch the last 15 minutes of The View, it's a blessed day.
Wow. I mean, but with New York, it's like either your blood vessels are screaming or, you know, you're just so lethargic.
I'm so happy that you said blood vessels are screaming because I was thinking to myself, we need to find a way to spice up this LA versus New York conversation. How are we going to make this the definitive LA versus New York conversation? And when you, honey, said blood vessels screaming, I saw that and I thought that's visual. And that's why you're an artist. And that's why you're a vocal artist.
Thank you.
You are amazing, Bowen. Bowen, you are an amazing vocal artist. And thank you.
I think my new joke area is like vaso humor. Like,
yes,
like blood vessel humor.
Can I say some things?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hapa's laughing. Hot associate producer Alec is laughing at my... But you know what? We have so much in common. We're both from Denver. We both were IB kids, International Baccalaureate, which is just a really silly program.
Yeah, I don't care.
Oh no, but we both remembered it very fondly. I don't mean to poo-poo on IB, but
I was advanced placement.
What a gorgeous quick friendship that I've struck up with Hapa.
That's amazing.
And Hapa means, as we briefly mentioned, half Asian.
So oh.
Shorthand for saying half Asian. Oh, they're Hapa.
And you are fully white?
Full Jewish.
Full Jewish,
oh.
Which is white.
That's good. Jewish is white.
Now speaking of race.
Speaking of race. Here's the thing. Whenever I make an appearance out in LA, what I say to the people is I would like to do podcasts. And they say, okay. And the people, Sam Varela, namely, will reach out and she'll come back and she'll say, here's the podcast that would accept you on as a guest. Mm. And whenever I see, yo, is this racist? And they always accept me on as a guest. I say, I would like to do that show.
One of the best podcasts.
I have such a good time. And guess what?
I have such a good time listening because I think, I'm like, oh, I'm just... Truly, I don't feel that same thing with a lot of podcasts that a lot of people talk about where they're just like, oh, it feels like I'm sitting with cool people and having a conversation. Most of the time, I'm like, oh, I'm being told about Elizabeth Holmes scamming, you know, whatever.
Which is what we discussed on our Dwayne Perkins episode.
But when you listen to these two, I'm truly like, oh, I'm like...
Part of it.
No, it's not only that. It's like I'm getting smarter.
Oh, yeah.
I know how to like... talk about shit more and more. Truly, I'm like, oh, these are like two very smart, good, cool people. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, of course. I've been on their podcast 2 times.
I've been on their podcast.
And I feel I cheated on you by going on their podcast without you. But guess what? I'm my own fucking person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I will go on any podcast that accepts me. Mm-hmm. And when they accepted me to be on their podcast the second time, I did say I accept the invitation. And we went on and had a fabulous time.
I listened to that episode. It was fabulous.
I had such a fabulous... And we just had a shot of whiskey with them. And guess what? It slammed me.
Oh!
What was the kind of whiskey that it was?
It was a Taiwanese. What's it called, Andrew?
An aged...
Cavalon.
Cavalon. I was about to say Kavanaugh, which would have been bad.
Had you said Kavanaugh, I would have stormed out.
And I didn't.
I don't want to talk about her.
I don't want to talk about her. But
I don't want to talk about her
at
all.
Andrew brought me these... Oh. Boxed fruit.
Well, he didn't bring me
fruit in a plastic case. These Asian pears in a styrofoam mesh.
May I smell the fruit?
Yes. Oh, you haven't had Asian pear, but you've had Asian pear before.
I would like to try one right now.
Oh, well, you can't really. It's more of a thing that you cut up. It's like, you know, or you can bite into it. But look, oh, it's the most beautiful fruit.
What is this wrapper?
It's the styrofoam mesh. Take a bite. Just take one bite into it, and then it'll be yours. What a gorgeous sound. What do we think?
I love this pear.
It's a great pear.
It tastes as good as it looks. It's a very big pear.
Mm-hmm.
And the taste is big.
And the taste.
Oh, it's very sweet.
And it's gorgeous natural sweetness.
Cavalon.
That's the whiskey. And I mean, so nice of them to come bearing gifts.
Can you even slay?
Can you even slay?
I'm already having a great time.
I'm having such
and
a good
can
time.
You believe we haven't even introduced them?
We haven't even introduced them.
Can we say that the host of Yo, Is This Racist podcast on Ms. Airwolf Network. Ms. Airwolf Network.
Yes, honey.
Which is really the president of network podcast networks.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I had one shot.
And
it's
you are
psycho
slammed.
What it did to me.
I can't wait for this wild ride. I'm strapping myself in. Wow. I mean, you can catch them on their amazing podcast, Yo, Is This Racist? They're talking about race, talking to guests, taking calls. It's truly the best, most entertaining.
Sometimes the calls can be psycho.
The calls are, and that's why we love the calls. As a listener, that's why I love the calls.
And they do make you think.
You can catch Brockmire?
Yes.
Coming up in April.
And you can catch our guests sometimes popping out, our one guest, sometimes popping out of a cab in Vancouver and us being like, Tawny? And her being like, what?
What?
And then we all get drinks.
Well, hold on. You
hold
just wait.
Hold on, we said.
And then you can count on Andrew to just bring a delicious sweet fruit.
They are bringing it.
And I'm so excited that this episode is happening. This is a true, gorgeous crossover moment. Please welcome to your ears,
Tawny Newsome and Andrew T.
What's up?
Thank you.
I'm sorry I cut you off. What were you going to say, Tawny?
What were you going to say?
I got so excited in the same way that I got excited when you shrieked my name in Vancouver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's when it was a period of 5 days where I lost my phone.
Yes.
To travel to another country. Yes. Like a Luddite. Yes. And hearing two people I didn't know were there say my name in a friendly way made me feel seen and heard.
Oh.
In a way that I had truly been in the dark.
Oh my God.
And I had nothing. And then you gave me a ray of light. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew, longest you've gone without your phone.
Longest I've gone without my phone about, I guess, about like 18, 20 minutes.
Okay. Mm. That's beautiful. And tops. Actually, I admire that.
Tops.
I you just, keep it with you in the at like the gym. You just keep I it strapped to you in a yoga class.
Fully what I do is I've been playing poker on the exercise bike.
Oh, that's fun.
It's because I hate being on the exercise bike so much. So my reward is playing online poker for Bitcoins. I think not yeah. in a not... strictly legal right, website. Right, right, right.
Did I know this about you, that you possess Bitcoin?
I only got enough to play poker on this like not legal website.
Which is how many? It's like 0.01. Like,
yeah. Oh, like, yeah. Yeah. I got $300 worth of Bitcoin, which is like, God. Yeah, yeah, point. I can tell it's exactly 0.158. And it doesn't matter. The point is.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I've been playing.
Wow.
Can I just say.
How are you liking that pair?
I just have to say something. This pair is like a cake.
It's, they're really sweet.
This pair is unrivaled. This pair has the top rating from me. Five stars.
I will just say this. We could even do this. Try it just a little chilled.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
They're really good. Just not cold, but just yeah. like a little, like just out the fridge and then warm it up like a little more than you would a white wine.
This Bowen, is beautiful. Have you tried this pair?
My childhood bitch.
Oh my
God. It's really, it's very Asian.
Cut it up for me.
This is outrageous.
But box okay. fruit is mad Asian.
Mad Asian.
It's like you it's went like, to an H Mart and just came straight here from there.
I mean, it hypothetically could be like I did go to the Korean store literally minutes right before I came
and
here.
And that's beautiful. But, and why would we judge that?
Not I at mean, all. It, but I went the extra Chinese mile and I did tear the Korean stickers off the pears.
Because you didn't, you wanted to.
You needed a Chinese experience.
Yeah. I wanted to go full Chinese.
You wanted
us.
To sinnify yeah. these pears yeah. by taking off the Korean label.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that cool, like, in some ways.
No, no, no. But like, okay, Andrew, I think you touched on this thing right before we hit record.
Oh, yeah.
And it's truly like, it's truly, it completes me in this way that you, that we're talking about this kind of stuff, because I do feel very unmoored as an Asian now, where it's just like, I just don't mm-hmm. interface with enough of any part of the culture anymore, where I'm just like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. oh, that's right. I grew up with chilled Asian pear.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. Well, part of it is New York.
Yes.
Because Southern California, a lot more Asian people.
Yes, yes.
Sorry, a lot more...
I get what you're saying.
Middle-classy Asian people yes, that, yes. like, interact with the places you are likely to be.
Absolutely.
And also, I will say, though, this is the other part of it is that there's this weird thing of, like, the pair, yeah, is that in Southern California, there's, like, kind of, like, pan-Asianness, where like, hence the Korean story. Like, so there's not
it
as
all
much
gets flattened into
yeah,
one.
Yeah, so there's not as much Chinese-ness specifically.
But,
and, like, Mandarin-speaking Chinese-ness also, where yes. you're, like, I don't know.
Oh, wait. This okay. We're just getting full.
I love it. It's adding a texture it to the is. Conversation.
It's adding a crunch.
It's a literal crunch.
It's giving gravitas to an already like beautiful.
This is literally the top five best things I've ever eaten.
Wow.
They're really good.
They're really good. I'm not even kidding you. This is so good.
It's beautiful.
I love how big it is. They're the size of a softball.
Yeah.
Like regulation.
Tony, do you want one?
I'm going to crunch one.
Come
too.
On. Yeah. As dense as a softball even.
Truly.
Yeah. You can straight
oh my God.
Up,
it really is a softball. You yeah. can kill someone with
it. You can kill someone. It's heavy. It's heavy.
It's very heavy.
Lot of water. Sweet, but not too sweet.
Mm-hmm. Sweet, but not too sweet. Okay, so while these two non-yellows bite into their pears. Oh my God.
This is a perfect way to let you guys have space to have this conversation. Is just feed the non-Chinese people so that we are quiet and we listen with no, support.
But our listeners that are like anti-me and pro-Bowen are like, this is fucking, they're jacking off right now.
But do you guys please feel free to chime in. Okay, so Andrew, and he was also getting into, you were also getting into your family. And,
oh, yes, yes, yes.
And your and the family ilk or whatever it was.
Yeah, you said so they were... my last name is T,
yes.
which no one else besides the people related to specifically my dad are named because it's like a weird transliteration.
Right.
Because in the Chinese, our name is D.
D-E?
Yeah.
Wait, is that third tone or is that...
D-D.
D.
No, second tone.
Second
tone, D.
Okay.
And it was like like the brief window in the 70s where they decided D's were T's.
Oh.
So like even people with my same Chinese last name would probably arrive at, I don't know, immigration in San Francisco today and be told they're like D-I or D-E-E
right,
or something like
right,
that. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
That brief window in the 70s where they said Mao Zedong.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's the same character, in fact. That's been
instead of Mao Zedong.
Yeah, exactly. Wrongly transliterate or whatever. Doesn't matter. But the other thing is, so my family's like name is like basically like horse. It's like horse farmer kind of people.
Oh.
We were basically like shitty Mongolians. Like we would be the ones that didn't overthrow anyone.
Got it. Which is honestly chiller.
Yeah, aren't the nicer Mongolians?
I think we're bad at it, though. I think it's just bad
at being nice. You want it to be evil.
No, bad at being conquerors.
I mean, there's a fucking...
That is my vibe, though. Like, kind of mean, but like really bad at it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're a little better at it. I don't know.
This needs to soak in a cocktail. Like, this would absolutely.
Right, oh, my God.
Infusion. Do you know where I went last night?
Tell us.
Where?
Sir.
Oh,
you did it.
A la the housewife.
How is it?
And I had a lychee martini, and I'm thinking what we need is this pear.
Oh,
martini.
The lychee martinis are so fucking done. I mean, it's like they've been.
I think Asian pear martini.
Asian pear martini.
Or just, again.
We need that.
One Asian pear and one shot of whiskey neat.
Right.
And that's the mixed drink.
And then your Matt Rogers off to the races, just grooving
just
and brewing.
Well, you know what Tawny did.
What did Tawny do?
She took her Asian whiskey and mixed it with some kombucha, and now she's got a fine bourbon drink to pair with her Asian pear.
I'm an innovator. There was this kombucha sitting here on the counter.
Yes.
Is this a counter?
This is a counter.
It's a counter.
Well,
it's a
table. I'd call it a table, but you know, if you want to call it a counter, I would never
take that. We're sidled up to the Culturistas counter.
We had like a staggered ways of taking the drink because it was a small amount. It was the end of Andrew's bottle.
Yeah, it was the end of a bottle that someone brought back from Taiwan.
So we split it between five folks, and some people were badasses and took it like a shot.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, you did.
Well done.
Our lovely full white friend Alex did.
Yes.
And Alex, right?
Full Jewish.
Yeah,
full Jewish.
I tried to sip it, but then I went one step further. I went one step towards soccer mom. I said, I need a spritzer. I said, put some LaCroix in my white wine. Right. I can't possibly drink liquor straight.
The next best thing was this kombucha.
And now it's like a little bourbon-y whiskey ginger almost.
It tastes really good. But I mean,
you found the classiest route. Congratulations.
Really, nothing wrong with a chaser.
Nothing wrong with a chaser.
Nothing wrong with a chaser.
No, not at all.
Is there something wrong with this pear? Is so juicy.
It's unbelievable.
So wet.
I can't stop talking about it or thinking about it.
It's just sticky.
You guys may straight up need a roll of paper towels.
Yeah.
Might. Does that exist in this universe?
We have.
With every
Papa, can we get some?
With every bite, I'm sucking the juice. I don't need a paper towel. I'm really enjoying this.
Matt's going to be fully hydrated.
I feel like a hummingbird enjoying the nectar.
This is unbelievable. I swear to God, this is like dessert. I'll never need ice cream again. I can't talk. I can't even describe to you.
I mean, it fully is dessert in a lot of Chinese places.
It is.
Yeah. Just plate of fruit. Chilled fruit.
Where have we been, Matthew? Where have we been?
I don't know. Like, I will say.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you for the napkins. So, anyway. Anyway, let me just last night at Sir.
Yes.
Tuesday night.
Okay. What kind of
crazy?
Food is it? Yeah.
Women in bandage dresses hanging from the ceiling.
Sure.
That's what the wrong side of LA does.
Unreal.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll escape eventually.
But it's crazy. Like Tuesday night was absolutely crazy. It was a scene, and there was a wait for tables. I got there at 8 p.m. We had to wait 20 minutes with a reservation.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was crazy, and then it got really more busy as it went on, and then I was like, okay, is this where they actually film Vanderpump Rules?
Was
that where that happens?
I think it's a pump.
Or is that Pump?
No.
That's Pump.
Oh,
that's
probably but Pump. It is the other one. What's the other one?
I have to be honest with you. I do not watch the show, despite being a diehard Real Housewives of Beverly Hills fan. I don't watch the show, but I'm confused as to wherever they film Vanderpump Rules. Like, is that service staff actually the cast of that show? I think they are.
I think it was at one point, and now they have to, like, put in... They have to like it's like they have to put in enough shifts to technically qualify as still a waiter.
Oh my
God.
Wow.
Like, you know what I mean?
Do they get paid server's wage on top of scale?
Yeah.
And how do their tips factor in?
Honestly.
And how? Okay. And it was a fun time. What'd you eat?
I had a lobster bisque and angel hair pasta dish.
And what was the sauce?
Like a tomato sauce.
Still lobster bisque.
Still lobster bisque. Yeah.
Just double bisque.
Double bisque.
But I'm really kind of finding that in LA you can't go out to eat without spending less than $35.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy every time.
Oh.
All my lunches are so expensive.
I'm gonna say this. I know I've come in extra Chinese hot today.
Come on, keep going.
Bring it.
But LA, if you get ethnic shit, You can eat better and you can eat for less than $35.
Really? That's straight up why I live in Koreatown.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's beautiful.
Just consider it.
Okay.
I think here's my food line is, as long as we're talking New York, LA.
We are.
New York is way better if you're spending more than, let's adjust for inflation since I lived there last, $45 per person. If you're spending more than $45 per person, New York is way better.
Yeah.
If you're spending less than $35, you know, I used to say 25, but yeah, but if you're spending less than $35, LA is way better.
Really?
Yeah. What about 35 to 45?
Mm. That's that window.
That's the market.
That's the sweet spot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is where you sort of hit.
But just go to like, you know, strip malls and all that stuff. And like, and as long as you don't think of like the dinner as having to be part of the entertainment portion of the night out, mm-hmm. like, get a good meal for cheap and then go to a bar.
Because it will be next to a car wash.
Right. Yeah. It will not be like
or
nice.
It's not a scene. Yeah. It's like good food.
Yeah.
Because the places that are scenes are not good food.
Are not good food. Okay. Well, the strip mall aspect of LA culture is I think one of the most overwhelming things for me as a coming where I'm just like, there's so many.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there seems like there's cool stuff in all of them. You got your dentists.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your Zankus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You got your
Zanku dentists.
Fucking immigration lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you want to go to all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why
they have them in one spot.
I'm going to set my pair down for now. Okay.
You've turned yours into like a delightful little meteor.
Right. Well,
You made a baseball out of a softball. Yeah. Wow. Incredible. So nice.
My thing with pears, when I'm eating pears, I like to eat all the skin first. And then you go for the rest.
But then you're just holding on to, you got your grip on something sticky the whole rest of the way.
I do the same with a full zucchini. I just want to get that tough, flavorless skin down.
Hide out.
What can I say? I'm high risk.
Yeah. Okay, wait. I'm sorry, Tani. You eat this zucchini raw?
No, I was just trying to participate.
Oh, I was very concerned.
Well, yeah, that would be bad.
I have a way. I have a way. We can literally, truly toss Tani into participating.
Come on.
And that's by asking the question.
Oh.
So on Las Culturistas, we ask all of our guests a question. Mm-hmm. That question is: what was the culture that made you say culture was for you? This is the defining pop culture of your life that you can like think back and think, oh, I am who I am probably because of my media diet at this crucial time. And what did that include?
So I do think that it was trying to just replicate, trying to only listen to music that my mother was listening to.
Oh, okay.
And not because it was all good, but because it was all things that my mother liked.
Right.
And I liked her.
Yes, you wanted to relate.
I wanted to relate. I liked her. I liked when she played things and I felt like a little grown up. Mm-hmm. So, and this is going to swing wild. So I need you to buckle up. Okay?
I love that. That's how I do.
It's not a safe ride. This is a go-kart we're in. Okay.
Love it.
So let's start with a Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
Hotter Than July, Songs in the Key of Life. Those are on heavy rotation in my home.
Yes.
We're doing good so far.
Oh yeah.
Love that.
Let's talk about Anita Baker.
Okay.
Oh, Miss Anita.
My God. Caught Up in the Rapture of You. I was like 12 years old, wearing my mom's paisley suits.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Caught up in the rapture of love.
Yes.
And we have a musician.
Oh, it taught me to sing. It taught me to close my nose when I sing.
Yes.
It taught me to close my eyes and never open them when I sing. So we're doing okay. Then we're going to swing wide and we're going to go to Toto.
Okay? Oh.
We're
gonna
also
take a lot to all of it. From you.
We're also going to dive deep into the Eagles.
Okay.
And then we're also going to give
California,
you a swipe of Trisha Yearwood.
So this was my
CD changer, is what you're hearing.
The 5 CD changer?
Yeah. It actually was a 6 CD changer in which put the Styx Greatest Hits album in there.
Wow.
Got to have number six.
Wow.
So, it was my mother's wide swinging musical taste. One time when I was 13 years old, she went to a Parliament Funkadelic concert and she got it signed for me.
Wow.
I did not know who they were. But after that, you better believe I learned. You better believe I said, I want to know who these men are who said, Tawny, go and get it, girl.
Oh.
I want to know who George Clinton is now. And then I found out. The other one, yes.
George Clinton, baby.
It did not make me popular. It did make my mother and I able to bond. And I still hold some of those albums.
Popular
are
with
my
Your
favorite.
Mom is still popular.
It's still popular.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
I want to dive into one particular musical
Let's
artist that you've mentioned, and that musical artist that I'd like to discuss is Trisha Yearwood.
Yes, please, please. We started this in the hall, and we have to continue.
We did, because I sang a little bit of How Do I Live, and then you threw at me.
I pounced like a jaguar.
You had said, when you sing How Do I Live, what is the canon for you? Is it Leanne Rimes or is it Trisha Yearwood? And I unfortunately had to respond, Leanne Rimes. Now, understand, I did grow up on Long Island where the pop sensibility was going to take over.
Sure.
We really didn't know Trisha Yearwood, although I will say this. I first found out that Trisha Yearwood had a version of that song at the Oscars that year because the three nominated songs were, I think, like Sonny Came Home from Sean
Colvin.
How Do I Live from Con Air, performed by Trisha Yearwood on the Oscars. And the winner, My Heart Will Go On from Titanic, sung by famously Celine Dion.
Con Air was at the same year as Titanic.
It absolutely was.
Really?
Amazing
year
was.
For cinema. It's an important thing.
Wait, I don't believe any of this.
Why don't you look it up?
Maybe I will.
And My Heart Will Go On won.
Yes.
But How Do I Live, I remember watching and I was like, oh, that's not Leanne Rimes singing that song because Trisha Yearwood did it in Con Air. And I do enjoy Trisha Yearwood much more now. She's got one song called Georgia Rain that makes me cry.
Yes.
And one of my favorite songs of all time that really puts me through it is called This Is Me You're Talking To.
Oh, yes. I resonate with this so hard. I also don't know what we were talking about this a little bit. The division between the Leanne Rimes heads and the Yearwood heads. Like, I feel like media did that to us.
War.
They made us war.
They
made
the Rhyme Babies.
Was
that
right?
I couldn't find it. It's very hard to Google. Okay. I truly can't.
Surely not that hard, but.
And you're drunk. Don't do it.
I'm not drunk.
Don't. Well, okay. So, and because I truly have no.
Sure.
I'm someone who has no attachment to either of these women. Explain the divide. Explain the war. What is it? Is it purely the locust? Is the locust the song?
I believe it must have started with the song. But there was also, now imagine little 12-year-old Tawny trying to be my 32-year-old mother.
Yeah.
Imagine back then, I feel like the Leanne Rimeses, the Dixie Chickses, and even the Shanias were more in a pop country. They were a younger vibe.
That was
and
the
so
wave.
The grown folks who were listening to shit, who were listening to the Clint Blacks and the Garth Brooks and the George Straits and all these like silky voices who were really like considered the new traditionalists of country music, hearkening back to the, you know, the Loretta Lynns and the Dolly Partons of it all.
Yep.
So when in the 90s, when we had these new traditionalists kind of reestablishing the genre as less poppy, less, you know, suburban rock in a cowboy hat, then all of a sudden you had these young poppy girls come up and it was like, no. Yep. We're grabbing Vince Gill. We're grabbing the silky voiced Vince Gill of it all.
But you can beat back the poppy girls.
We couldn't. And Leanne Rimes has a fantastic voice. So I don't know why I was so mad at her.
There were not only three nominees. It was Titanic, My Heart Will Go On, Anastasia, Journey to the Past, Con Air, How Do I Live, Good Will Hunting, Miss Misery, and Hercules, Go the Distance.
Okay,
so I was wrong about Sean Colvin. I don't know why I said that. But Titanic was the winner, and Con Air
Do you know
lost.
What it... I feel like that whole era, though, of music was like the posers versus the authenticity era.
Talk about it.
That's that same conversation. That's the same thing people were saying about... I don't know, Nirvana and Pearl Jam?
Sure. Yeah.
It's that
Nelly
same...
and 50 Cent?
Exactly.
That was a little later.
Nelly was the poser in that scenario?
I believe so, yes, because the Band-Aid, he never had an injury.
Right.
Which she did.
He was unhurt.
He was unhurt.
But it's an aesthetic embellishment. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like 50 Cent, like in his lyrics, it's like, okay, you really have like fucked this way.
Yeah.
Whereas like Nelly, it's like,
I don't know.
Yeah, we gather that. Like, here's the thing. Here's the difference between 50 Cent and Nelly. You feel like 50 Cent could actually tell you specifically what it tastes like when you give cunnilingus. Whereas Nelly's like, when you go to a place with a lot of people, it gets warm in the room.
He's literally
and
imagining.
Like, shut up.
He's imagining. Yeah. He's like, take off your clothes while you're all alone, dancing from the mirror, I think.
He's like, I think the way the temperature works is when people get in the room, it gets hotter.
That's good.
When I was like 50 cents, like.
That was very, yeah.
50 cents, like.
Detail oriented.
I'm going to fuck you over here because I have before.
This is
I know that
the
it
specific
works.
Couch.
Yeah.
I stared at the indentation of their palm prints on the couch.
Exactly.
Kind of
50 cents.
He's like the Hemingway of that.
Yes. Absolutely.
50 Cent was good.
Vaguely
I will say
bullshit.
Candy shops.
A womanizing homophobe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Candy shops still quote unquote slaps.
I mean, a lot of these songs slap, you know?
A lot of these songs
slap. I took
slap.
It to the candy shop.
Truly, if you go back and listen to any Shania Twain song, they all slap.
They all slap.
I'm gonna get you just a matter of fact. I'm gonna get you, don't you worry about that. You can bet your bottom dollar in time and gonna be mine.
Yes.
Just like I should, I'll get you good.
Oh, slap. Beautiful.
Ooh. Slap. Slap. Okay, so you got a car.
That don't impress on me much. Honestly, that don't impress on me much was incredible.
It's an incredible song.
It's an incredible song.
That don't impress on me much. Oh, yeah.
The rap she does, it's literally like, one, two, get on the floor. Turn around. Look, he's at the door.
It's a do-si-do rap.
Get on the floor. Turn around.
I mean, there were so many. Also, do you know what is an underrated Shania bop, which was later in her career, but is a bop?
Let's talk about it.
Keeping you forever and for
this is a B-side.
That's not a bop. That's a ballad.
Listen to it again.
Okay.
Ballads are bops.
Ballads can
bops.
Be bops. Excuse me. I will always love you.
It's not a bop.
I listen. I will always love you is a bop that slaps.
Bop.
It's actually rule of culture number 11.
I will always love you
is a bop that slaps.
I don't fully agree with that.
I was gonna say I feel like I've never seen anyone have to do something under so much duress as Bowen just had to
you
do.
You were
that.
A hostage.
I was a hostage.
I will always love you is a bop that
to the
slaps.
Format.
And I will say this. I watched the Whitney documentary on a plane.
Oh.
Devastating.
Of course.
It ends so sad.
We know.
Well, don't spoil
it.
No spoiler.
Have you seen it?
I've actually seen it.
I lived it. We've seen it play out. It can't getting more details about that
news,
can't be better.
Yeah. Devastating.
Were we together the night that she died? We were at Skidmore.
Remember.
We were at Skidmore.
Were we at Skidmore?
It was senior year at Skidmore.
That's so weird.
And someone in the theater shouted, Whitney Houston just died.
Okay, can I tell you something? I wasn't there.
Oh.
I wasn't there.
Because you were doing Murat Saad.
I was doing Murat Saad at college. And the musical director of Murat Saad was like this gay guy. And
you were truly, can I say this? We've been through this so many times before on this podcast. You were at your worst at that point.
Yeah, I was. but he literally goes, hey guys, we're going to run through the show and do it for Whitney.
No.
I remember just
she
being
don't
like,
want it.
I remember,
she
just
don't
being,
want
I remember just being like,
oh.
And he was like, he turned over and looked at me, and I was like, I mean, come on.
I know who you're talking about.
You think it's someone else, but
is it
someone.
We can hear that.
These mics are quite
honestly,
sensitive.
Wait, don't cut it out, but replace it with the sound of me chomping on this pear.
It kind of sounds the same.
It sounds very similar. I have to. Oh, Matt, here you go.
Fast.
Am I getting sloppy?
Fast biting is the worst.
That was incredible.
A firm fruit.
It was so good.
There is no worse offender with eating loud than Bowen Yang.
No,
Bowen Yang eats the loudest in the West.
In the West.
Or East. Or he's,
don't bring race.
No. But also, Matt, come to the East.
Come to the East.
If you want to hear loud eating, God.
What, that's like Silver Lake? Just kidding. I do want to go to the East because I want Bowen to. I want to go to the East because I want Bowen to. And he keeps like really kind of sticking it in and breaking it off about this.
What do you mean?
I want to go to Shanghai Disneyland.
We will go.
That's where you want
to
go.
He needs to go. It's cool. He needs to go to all the Disneys. That's his thing.
All the Disneys. But also, I think it's just outside of Shanghai. They have that like fake Paris that like is basically abandoned.
Oh no, that's so post millennium Chinese that it's so bleak and sad.
It
might have been from the 90s or the 80s.
No. It's like recent ish. It's like mid 2000s.
And it's abandoned.
I think it's like people never moved in. And I don't know if it's all of Paris, but it's like a French some bullshit because Chinese people are weirdly obsessed with France.
With France, sure. But they can never execute it without it being so goddamn tacky.
It's the tackiest ass shit on earth. It's great.
So this is like a haunted empty Paris with Chinese flavor.
I mean, like if there was like a way to have cool Chinese cinema, it would be the setting for the best indie movie ever. Just like fake Paris that some communist decided they should build.
God.
I disagree. I thought so The Meg was a fantastic film.
Well, there's The Meg. You do own it.
I own it. I bought it for $19.99 American dollars.
Tawny tried to make us watch this shit on New Year's Day.
On New Year's Day, everyone was hungover. Andrew was coming down from some Molly.
and then did you in fact watch it?
We did not. Everyone shot me down. But I lobbied hard.
Well, okay, now walk us through The Meg, just very briefly. What makes it a great film?
What makes it a great film is I was hungover one day. I had scrolled through every option on the iTunes, Netflix, HBO, Hulu offerings of movies. I had either seen every single fucking thing on an airplane or had no desire to see certain things. Then,
if we place this in time, this was very soon after The Meg came out.
Yes, it was right after it came out. And I said, oh, you know what I want to watch? That silly, fun romp. Fun old, you know, marble mouth Jason Statham.
Yes.
It's got cute little children in it that are smarter than their years. You know, this will be a fun thing. Rainn Wilson is in it. It's a romp with real cool CGI and a scary shark. I like the ocean.
And these fun Chinese actors that they're trying to push on us.
The best.
Yeah.
Just like a DJ.
Oh, yeah. What was her name? Who now has vanished on the face of the earth?
Oh, Fan Bingbing.
Fan Bingbing.
Yeah.
She was great.
She straight up might be dead, guys.
Oh, no.
Really?
I hope she's okay.
She's like fully like disappeared by the government in a way that's like, who knows?
Oh, that is very scary. It's
bad.
I had it set in my heart and my mind that I needed to see The Meg and no other film would do because I had scrolled to the end of Netflix. And when I finally convinced my husband, I said, this is what we're going to rent. He was like, okay. And I went to rent it and you could only buy it. Only buy it. And I said, I'm not going through this mental hell again. This is our purgatory and we have to do this now.
Right.
So we own The Meg. The only other films we own are Paddington 2 and L.A. Story, I believe.
Solid. I hear good things about Paddington 2.
Yeah.
I've heard it's great.
Yeah,
it was fun. We rented when my nephew was in town. It was a romp.
So you've made purchases after browsing fatigue.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
And it was a $20 shark film that I have now watched twice, and I try to put my friends through whenever possible.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I think you were figuring your New Year's Day party is a big gathering for your house, and if we're amortizing it by eyeballs, making everyone at that party watch it is the only way you're ever going to come close to recouping.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was trying to get my money back.
It's like movie-nomics.
Man, Andrew, like, the way you can reason through these things is truly...
You can't, I just...
Truly beautiful. Truly beautiful. Okay, well, should we move on to Andrew with the culture question?
I think we should. Although I could talk about Miss Trisha for a long time.
We can bounce back and forth.
And I do want to say, I just want to tell all the Culturistas listeners that there are a couple live performances of This Is Me You're Talking To, and Trisha gives you a fucking performance, especially the performance which is just acoustic with a guitar. She gives you everything you need. It's a beautiful song. I listened to it in some vulnerable times after my relish ended, and whoa, baby, it says something very specific lyrically, and we love that.
Oh,
we love
speaking of relationship Trisha songs, everyone also needs to listen to Where Your Road Leads that she sings with her now husband Garth Brooks. That is a real moment. There's some live versions of it where he comes out of like a mist-filled orchestra section at the whatever Staples Center or wherever it is.
Uh-huh.
God.
Also, you got to listen to Georgia Rain, people, because there's a line at the end where she's like seeing a lover after many years that she hasn't seen. And she goes, looks like you made yourself a real good life. What else can I say? The Georgia rain on a Jasper County clay. It's so good.
Yeah.
Also listen to Walk Away Joe.
I love when
that boy's just a walk away Joe. Born to be a leaver, tell you from the word go. Destined to deceive her, he's the wrong kind of paradise.
Oh my God.
He's gonna make it in a matter of time. That boy's just a walk away Joe.
I had to get in on one, you guys. I'm sorry.
I love it when both of you guys sing.
Wow.
Oh, maybe we need a show.
That was euphoric for me.
I just took that in.
Speaking of, we'll do another plug. Tawny's other podcast, The Super Group, where she makes songs with comedians.
We do. We make bops.
Is out, I believe, for free now.
Yes, you can watch it for free.
Oh, because it was. Was it behind a paywall?
It was paywall.
You know what I'm realizing? The last two times I've seen you have been miracle times that I've just run into you. Yes. Because the time before we ran into her at the iconic moment where we went, Tawny? Uh-huh. In Vancouver. Uh-huh. Before that was when I did Paul F. Tompkins' Spontanean Nation.
Oh,
and I didn't know that Tawny traveled with the show, but mm-hmm. she was improvising at the Bell House, and I was like, who's here? Mm-hmm. And they said Tawny, and it was such a fun show.
I drive the bus.
You do not.
There's no bus. Can you imagine Paul F. Tompkins on a bus?
Absolutely. Honestly, yeah, he's so old-timey.
Disagree. I think it's hard to imagine him on a bus.
No, Seersucker wrinkles too hard for him to sit for that long. Are you kidding me?
He's sitting on the bus in Seersucker.
What do you think he travels in?
Pajamas.
No, he travels in full. Look, I've been to his home and I've only ever seen him with a slight unbuttoned collar.
Okay, see, that's some Elizabeth Holmes shit. Like, he's wearing a turtleneck
wait,
all the time.
Inside.
I literally, when I was out getting breakfast with Greta Titelman, I saw Paul F. Tompkins and I went up to him and I said, Paul, hey, and it wasn't him.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, you just look exactly like Paul F. Tompkins. And he was like, who? And I was like, I'm sorry, but if you literally look like Paul F. Tompkins,
yeah, okay.
And you live in LA, it's probably a choice look to look like Paul F. Tompkins, you know what I mean?
Wait, down to the dapperness and all that.
It was him.
I could see Paul driving a bus in a costume before I could see him sitting on a bus.
That's true. He could play a character.
He could play Miss Frizzle's boyfriend.
Who?
From Magic.
You know, from Magic School
Bus. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But Paul's not a bus. Paul is a penny farthing. That's the deal.
But a penny farthing bus. Two big front wheels.
Yes, two big front wheels. Small.
So
beautiful.
We asked the question,
Andrew
T, what was the culture that made you say culture was for me? The same question as Tawny, but this time for you.
This is going to be wrong because I
can't be wrong.
I went ahead and to prepare for this was listening to when you guys had Andy Beckerman and Naomi Akerrigan on.
Two lovely folks.
And you guys asked them the question, what's the culture that, you know, and they're a couple, so maybe that was more, anyway. But you asked them what was the culture that sort of binds you together.
Yes, because we had already had Naomi on. Yeah.
Oh, got it. I see.
But do you want to answer this question?
So
with
that's
you and Tawny?
Why I was trying to think of the culture that binds Tawny and I
together.
Okay,
answer that.
We're a couple.
answer that and then answer it for yourself if you have
but
a different
it might,
answer.
You know what? Honestly, the actual pop culture thing that binds us together might genuinely be Paul F. Tompkins.
Wow.
I think it
kind of is.
That's beautiful.
Because like we have very little overlapping in music taste.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we hate the, you know, it's just that like, oh, it's not as much my thing.
Sure, sure, sure.
And kind of the same with movies.
I don't even know
except
what you
for
like.
The Meg, of
the
course.
Meg, there you
yeah.
go.
But like, you know, I watch all those like Marvel movies and whatnot, and
I
you
see.
Famously have only
I'm
watched
so famous
one
for
and a half of
not
them.
Not knowing shit
yeah.
about them.
Great.
Yeah. But the other thing is camping, I think.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's when we, not that
we'd
we
be
were,
outside.
We were like, you know, really good, like, podcast friends, and then Tawny, I think it was during the last meteor shower.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? So it was during the last meteor shower.
Perseids in August.
Perseids. Tawny and her husband are really amazing, like outdoors people.
Oh,
and so she organized a little trip that I went on, and I kind of like rekindled. Like I bought my own tent. I got like a knife. Bunch of
you got a
boots.
Knife.
I got a knife.
You got a good knife.
A this good
is,
knife.
This is straight up fucking. Oh wait, Matt is making.
I don't know about this.
Okay, you don't enjoy it.
I'm anti-weapon.
Well, it's a tool.
It's a tool.
No.
It's for cutting your giant Asian pear.
Oh, and what do we think about that?
Well, look at me already trucking along, having already consumed this entire pair. I needed no knife.
It's like the mouth knife.
I
want to
cut
have,
something,
not like for my hand.
If I want to cut something, honey, yeah. I'll buy a scissor. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
you.
So this is fast. Okay, as to be, I would say Matt and I are very outdoor averse. Not that we have an aversion to the outdoors, but we would never. It would never occur to us to go camping.
I wouldn't rather be out there.
Sure. So talk through this. Talk through the appeal. It was.
Well,
for both
so
of you.
I was a like Boy Scout, but kind of under duress,
great.
And like I hated it, and like everyone, like I just like didn't like being there. And instead of doing my senior project the Eagle Scout project,
yeah,
which takes a year, I like fully just did LSD instead. I was just like, fuck this. I'm dropping out of Boy Scouts, and literally, I'm gonna do every second that I would otherwise have been in Boy Scouts, I'm going to be doing.
You were a teen
drugs.
Doing LSD?
Yeah, I was like 15 the first time.
What's your relationship with it now? But before we like.
I haven't done it in a long time.
Okay, great.
But I'm not. against
we're like new sort of, I mean, we haven't done it.
Psychedelic,
I've done it twice.
Folks.
I did it yeah. 2 weeks ago.
Oh, what'd you think?
You did 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago was a little bit more up and down than it was the first time I did it.
Do you think that it was too much or just like not fun?
No, it was an environment thing. Okay. It was raining outside and we were cooped up in a house. And I would have liked to have the option to roam about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, and then like we could, but it was just like, I don't know, yeah.
So I have a really different and I think not typical association with drugs like that, because I was doing it a lot as a teenager.
Right.
And that means I was doing it kind of a lot, like by myself and often in my room and shit like that.
Holy uh-huh. shit.
And this is going to, I know this is bonkers, the thing I'm about to say next, but it's like I did a lot of acid because I actually, in my like bad logic at the time, was like, oh, this is like I'm least likely to get caught doing this because it has very little physical paraphernalia. It's a little tiny piece of paper.
Right.
So my logic was just like, well, they're not going to find even a lighter, you know, or
whereas
anything.
Other dummies have like a handle of vodka stuffed under their bed.
Right, so I was just like, I'm just going to do LSD all the time. So I would like just the most cliche shit, just like listen to like the Velvet Underground and Beyond Acid and like look at like pop art and like watch a little bit of TV, but not much. Yeah, truly bonkers shit by myself. So I like being cooped up when I'm on psychedelics, but it's also, I was like in a very comfortable place. And I still kind of maintain that. Like all my friends like to like do mushrooms and walk around. And I'm like, last time I did mushrooms, I literally listened to comedy, like stand up on Spotify, just like, and it just started. Like I was just like I'm not, you know, I like him as a person, but like Anthony Jeselnik stand up isn't like exactly my speed.
Yeah, but that's what you were listening to.
It was so funny on mushrooms. I was just like, I love this shit. It's fucking incredible. And it was like an old album that was, you know, that kind of
was dated and was like a
dated,
little...
you know, yeah, problematic in many ways. I'm sure. I don't remember it because I was on drugs. Yeah.
Well, this dovetails with you actually camping, because during the PC Perseid meteor shower, the whole point of it, the sky turns into a laser show.
Laser
at midnight.
Show.
He straight up at 8 p.m. was like, I don't give a fuck about them rocks. I'm going to bed. And he went to bed both nights.
I was like too stoned and I was just like, I'm going to bed. And everyone's like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I'll see you guys in the morning.
I built like a viewing pad.
It was so
I made
nice.
These cushioned like laying pad. I had all these outdoor pillows. I wanted this bohemian. I wanted my like Coachella. I wanted like my mountainous outdoor looking at the meteors, smoking weed Coachella.
There's nothing more Coachella than someone being too fucked up to keep hanging out.
There you go.
Actually,
to stay for the
that.
Main event.
Yeah. I love that about you. You're a good camper because you don't like, you're not like, what are we doing now? Or what's next? Or when's dinner? Like, you just do whatever the fuck, which is the best.
Okay. But like, I can't get past just like the survivalist aspect of it. And that's not the right word, but like the truly like just like
the there's a difficulty in a lot of basic functions.
Yes. Yeah. I don't like being uncomfortable.
Well, so for what it's worth, first of all, if you go with Tawny and, does I say Nate, her husband? Does Nate?
Yeah,
Nate doesn't
that's
like.
His name.
Does he like having his name mentioned on podcast?
He doesn't have a choice at this point.
All right, Tawny and Nate.
There we go, Nate.
They
his
have,
name is Nate. Look at
they
up.
Have. They have like such a comfortable setup. They're like the people that have like five of everything. So you can't even forget something.
Yeah, we got it.
You know, and we went to that campsite was.
It's a
as
very,
easy as it gets.
Yeah, instead of, it's not like a KOA where you've got like kids and water slides and shit, but it is a very comfortable, it's car camping, you know, so you're bringing all your stuff in your car.
Oh, I see.
You're right there. And like, we make a full, huge meal. We don't go like, oh we're outdoors,
so nice.
Everyone eat a hot dog.
Oh,
like,
so, the
we
food
made like
was so
very
good.
Extravagant food. Because that's part of it. Like, you want to sit and just like, eat and be stoned.
What's the meal?
And, oh, we did a, so I did collard greens. I always do, famously always do collard greens in the wild. Right. What else was in that meal? We also did a huge Thanksgiving camp out, so I'm confusing.
I missed that one. Let's see. There was
nice.
The first
literally
night.
Literally, we're so hungry right
the
now.
The first night. Well, yeah, you guys have been here for like a full union work
we've
day,
been,
right?
We've, yeah. we've been sitting at this table for 4 days.
Oh my God. You look great.
Nate's friend, whose name escapes me right
Adam
now.
Adam made like a...
Had brought like all this
like
crazy...
Carne asada.
So we had tacos the first night. Mm-hmm. And then
there
was
of,
amazing
like,
sausages
braised
and burgers.
Things. We usually do like a reduced like braised mushrooms thing, which you can either put over the meat or like for the vegetarians. Like it's a kind of an entree on its own. Like the big king oyster mushrooms from the H Mart. Thank you, Pears.
Thank you, Pears.
Thank you, Pears.
We love you, Pears. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but I will say, okay, so for people who are like, the outdoors isn't for me, mm-hmm. and maybe it truly isn't, but if you have the right gear, and it does take a little bit of shuffling. I definitely went through phases where I like had the wrong things.
Yeah,
and okay. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, I don't like sitting in these trash chairs just because it had a cup holder. I thought sure, I would sure, buy sure. it, you know? But what I always say about camping, and like, I also like to do backpacking where you're carrying everything mm-hmm, and you mm-hmm. really can get away from people. Mm-hmm. The most beautiful things to see on this planet, either they cost one of two things, either a ton of money or a ton of effort.
Okay.
And I don't have the first thing. So I would rather spend as much effort like hiking to a thing or yeah. like bringing all my food in weird containers and pitching a tent
yeah.
in order to see like these beautiful vistas or go to the top of certain mountains. Right. That other people can only get to with like a helicopter, you wow. know?
I am interested in seeing beautiful things. However, okay. I would like to ask you about another element of the wilderness.
Don't say bears.
We have. No, I'm not gonna say bears. However, I am gonna say coyotes.
What?
Wolves, foxes. Oh.
So just to illustrate
panthers.
Just to
panthers.
Panthers are out there.
Just to illustrate how like fully
title of that.
Panthers are out there. Fully safe this campsite is.
Yes.
The first night. We forgot to put away like half of our food.
Well,
like, food.
Very stoned.
And
it was a full steak sitting out.
Untouched.
And the when we
oh, not even like, raccoons.
Yeah, literally not even raccoons.
I will say that one time camping at Big Sur, I did see a raccoon steal two bags of family size Funyuns from some
beautiful.
Bros next to me.
I'm not scared of a raccoon because I feel like I'd shush it away. A coyote?
You will not shush a raccoon.
Yeah, no, a raccoon.
You think
will
you will
not.
Shush
they
a raccoon?
Will fuck you up, dog.
A raccoon yeah. is Seriously? So bold. Yeah. A raccoon gives no fucks about you. A raccoon can practically talk. Their thumbs are so opposable yeah. they almost have speech. A raccoon will stay in your face. He will climb on a picnic table.
Oh
you just have
God.
To stand and wait for him to go away.
It's raccoons world. You're just
raccoons
living in it.
Can
world.
I tell yeah. you what I happened upon the other day? I went through for a hike, Griffith Park hike.
Please.
Yeah.
And what I happened upon on this hike happened to be
you're on
a hawk.
You're on a different level right now.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. Hey, everybody. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs Classic Clogs and Sandals have both covered.
And when we're talking about style, we mean personal style. There's just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood and to match your personality and to fit the occasion.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style.
And now let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than the Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs Classic Clogs and Sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Hey, Las Culturistas listeners, we're here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy.
Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion.
It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com, then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas.
There's a lot of pressure around gifting. I usually have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for the birthdays of loved ones in my life. And sometimes I do get super stressed trying to find that perfect thing.
Me too. But now with Gift Mode on Etsy, I can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. And I actually just found a custom chalk bag for the adventurer in my life who's into rock climbing.
Not me. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So, whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner in your life or a birthday present for the pickleballer in your life, Gift Mode has you covered.
I'm not the pickleballer. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
And what more could you ask for? Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Titanic is NYC's funniest night out. Plus, it's the winner of multiple awards, including the Las Culturistas Kimberly Akimbo Award for Best Indoor Live Performance.
Titanic is a parody musical that answers the question of what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night aboard the Titanic.
My life was improved by seeing Titanic, so much so that I reached out to my best friend, Bowen Yang, to improve his life. And Bowen, did it succeed?
It succeeded so much that I went four more times.
So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit this season. Plus, if you get tickets 6 weeks in advance, you get 30% off. And that's on Titanic math, girlfriend.
But seriously, who can wait that long? Go see it tomorrow. What are you waiting for? Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
I feel like he's been cooped up in here too long. And then we had the pears.
Well, for us, we're looking at you guys floating in outer space on the amazing space backdrop.
The backdrop.
So there is an element of just like, this is like they're just floating brains in outer space.
And that's where we are. I feel relatively grounded, but you talk about this hawk.
Speaking of floating.
All right, so you saw a hawk.
This hawk was flying in midair. I've never seen anything like this. Hawks can just stay in one spot in the air without even floating its wings. Yeah.
It's the original drone.
Yeah.
They are in fact like a kite.
Yeah.
And they are the original drone. And you know what happens on hikes? Many people will bring their dogs with them.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It was clear to me.
I'm trying to eat a dog.
The hawks were trying to eat the dogs.
Yeah.
And I was like, I said to Greta, it was me, Greta, and Blair and Abe.
Yeah.
And I said to Greta and Blair and Abe, I was like, have you ever seen a hawk attack a dog? And they had to report to me that, yes, they had seen this. Oh, and I said, did the dog make it? And they had to report to me that, no, the dog, in fact, did not make it. It was a shih tzu that stood no chance against a hawk. And then I said, well, that hawk's not going to attack our dogs, of which we had two.
How big were they?
Small.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I said, they won't attack our dogs. And they said, we don't know that. And at which point in time, they picked up their dog, held him close to their chest, and that was the only way they could be confident, knowing that the hawk was not going to attack, kill, and eat our dogs.
Oh, no, there's something about this story.
The two dogs are named Bernie and Tiny, and they live up to their names.
Mm. Bernie,
and that he's like a Bernie Sanders older dog, and Tiny, and that he's very small.
I voted for that first dog.
For Tiny.
I voted for Tiny.
Who was I supposed to vote for?
We don't know. Oh, it's fine. Fuck. Not Beto. Maybe Beto.
I thought this was just a cutesy thing, but maybe it's real. You can get like dog sweaters that have little spikes on the back. And at first I thought it was like, oh, that's like a punk. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
But I think that's a hawk.
It's also anti-coyote. When I was a child, I lived in the country. This is also probably why I don't have such an aversion to camping, because I basically grew up camping.
Yes. Yes.
My life was camping. I grew up outside. But our neighbor had a bunch of sheep. And they would put a similar thing, probably not as expensive or cute, but like a spiky like a spiky jacket or like a shawl of the baby lambs.
It's basically just a bunch of spikes on it. It's like a leather jacket, but
for function.
For dogs.
Yeah, a functional leather jacket, Fonzie.
Yeah.
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 Fonzie had a natural predator.
Yes. Well, hawks.
Uh-huh.
Wait, Andrew, where did you grow up?
Michigan. Yeah. Great.
And the parents were what? First gen? Putting you through?
It's wild that I still don't know which is which. They immigrated.
So I had to like figure this out. I had to define for myself once and for all. First generation is them.
They're the first immigrant generation. Yes. I'm second generation.
Exactly. I'm second. Yeah.
Got it. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous that I don't know that off.
It's crazy that I didn't know this until very recently.
Yeah, because I always thought it was like the first generation that is born here.
That's what I thought.
I think the formal, technically, like the agreed upon definition is the first to emigrate. Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
My parents met in Michigan back of the envelope had to be the 70s or maybe the late 60s, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. They don't
there was this whole like thing where my parents couldn't there was a time in China where you could not move out.
So are they
Taiwanese?
Well, you know.
No, you said shitty horse people.
Oh yeah. So that's my dad's family.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They were on the wrong losing, I won't say wrong side, no wrong side, losing side of the Chinese Civil War.
Yes.
So they, my dad grew up in Taiwan.
Got it.
But he was, I only found this out like a couple years ago. He was like straight up a refugee for like the, my youngest and worst aunt was born in a fucking refugee camp on like the beaches of Taiwan.
Wow.
Like was just like, yeah, this is where I'm being born. And she went on to marry a white guy who's really
that's
racist.
That's why,
so.
I mean, if you listen to our show, that's his name is famously White Uncle Michael.
Yeah, he's
that's
the
probably Uncle why Michael. She married him because she's like, beats a refugee camp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, but I hear, I understand how you could think that, yeah.
Okay, so your dad basically...
So he grew up in Taipei.
Grew up in Taipei.
And then my mom, sort of similar, I don't know all the etymology of her chaos, but...
That's gorgeous.
She was born outside of Hong Kong, but like grew up in Hong Kong in like... So my maternal grandfather, who I've never met... and he did die a couple of years ago, I think.
Uh-huh.
Straight up used like World War II to just be like, start a new family. So he just like disappeared, abandoned my grandma with like five kids.
Wow.
Whoa.
And so my grandma was a single mom in the 50s in fucking Hong Kong with five kids,
shit.
Which is like, it's like In the Mood for Love, but the most depressing version of that shit on earth. So yeah, so they're like, and so both my parents met in Michigan and they were just like, fuck it, we're like the only 10 Chinese people here, so someone's got to pair off eventually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, they love
it's
each other about
story.
That much. Well, I don't know what to say. It's like very immigrant where they're like, they kind of tolerate each other and like, whatever.
We're still together.
Hard to imagine them. Yeah, but...
yeah, but...
hard to imagine them, like, liking each other at any point.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh,
but who knows? Whatever.
Who knows?
I don't fucking know.
It's that
they won't tell me, so...
Right. It's that thing where it was, like, you grow up with these Chinese parents who, like, have their weird things about showing affection to each other or to you in ways that they refuse. Like, they withhold that.
Yeah.
But then you see that... sort of being normal in other Chinese immigrant families.
Yes.
And so you think that's normal.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Is that how your parents were?
Yeah. Like, I've seen them kiss maybe once.
Oh, really? Wow.
That's not true.
Absolutely
Oh,
true.
Yeah. I think zero times for my parents stopped sleeping in the same room, I think when I was like 8.
And like,
and I think it was only because we moved to a house where that was an option.
Sure. And it's the same. And like, I feel like... you sort of are at peace with it as a child of that kind of marriage because you're just like, well,
yeah,
like, it was different.
It was, yeah, it's very, it truly like the circumstances are wild and like,
yeah,
they probably had to only think in practical terms rather than like have to think of a man who emotionally, like someone, a partner who can emotionally fulfill them in whatever.
Oh,
race.
God. Yeah. Mm. I mean, so, I think all of my grandparents had arranged marriages.
Yeah. Yeah. My grandma, my dad's side for sure. Not my, my maternal side, but yeah.
Yeah.
But crazy.
So it's like for them, they're like, yeah, we at least got a choice of some kind.
Wow.
This is romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, wow. Yeah.
Gorgeous. Okay. See,
can
this
I
is
say
beautiful.
Something that I've been thinking about? Fonzie's natural predator.
Mm-hmm.
Is a hawk.
Was the Time's Up movement.
Okay, explain this.
Because he was a misogynist.
Yeah.
And he was walking about.
Probably should
being
clarify.
The Fonz.
As far as we know, Henry Winkler's
fine.
He seems fine.
Okay.
He never heard anything.
Well, actually, famously, Henry Winkler and the Fonz are two different people. It's actually Rule of Culture number 99.
Henry Winkler and the Fonz are two different people. But so Andrew was just making sure that we weren't conflating.
No.
I just wanted to, for the listeners. Tanya and I are, of course, well-versed in all the rules of culture.
We know them all.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would never talk down to my listeners and assume they didn't know that famously Henry Winkler and the Fonz were two different people. And I will say that it's actually Rule of Culture number 101.
Hmm.
The Fonz's natural predator was the Time's Up movement. Because had we been dealing with the Fonz in the Time's Up era, that show would have been shut down. Mm-hmm. Happy Days Are Here Again. Mm-hmm. Happy Days Are Nevermore.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were proposing a maybe like a spec reboot of Happy Days where the Fonz...
Yeah, honestly, I'm going to write the spec script of Happy Days where the Fonz tries it and someone says, no, you know what? No means no, Fonz. Mm-hmm. And he says, hey, what do you mean? That's what he famously would say.
And that's the thing that makes it to Twitter and then...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
it's like the snooki getting punched in the face. That's the thing. That
right.
Touches.
We never would have been consuming that as entertainment nowadays.
No.
I do think Tani and Andrew do know all the rules of culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite rule?
Oh, our favorite rule is
Obviously, clearly, number
134.
Yes, 34.
You like that one? Or are you mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Okay.
Or 137 is good, too.
Oh, it's played out.
Okay.
134, probably. Which...
Tani says this every time we say
okay,
it.
Okay, say it together at the same time.
Yeah, it's... Asian pairs
yes.
go
in pairs.
Yes!
That is wrong.
Asian pairs. Oh.
Rule number 134 is famously Denise Richards is canon.
I think we boot it and we do Asian pairs come in pairs.
Mixed up with...
No, it's 133.
Oh, you're, yeah. No.
But can I say something? These Asian pairs came in a trio, so...
But you guys ate them in pairs.
That's true.
Pair you knuckleheads.
Hair you knuckleheads.
Eating them.
These
are separate.
What are some other Asian foods that we should that deserve to be popularized?
To more mainstream. What do you think about the pineapple cake?
What's it fucking called? Oh, I don't think I've had that.
It's like the little
The tartlet?
Yeah.
The egg custard?
No. The
pineapple cake.
It's like a brick of dense pineapple.
Oh, I know. And you're talking.
It's like a fig Newton, but slightly bigger.
And you have it at you have it at dim sum.
No. That's like one of the festival's food.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Doesn't matter.
What I've been enjoying lately?
Yes.
No one drag me.
Uh oh.
Poke.
Oh sure. Why would we drag you?
That's the Hong Kong pineapple bun. That's different. I'll look it up.
Oh wait, this thing.
Yeah, those bad boys.
Fig Newton-y thing.
It's like a fig Newton, but
I see.
It's like fig Newton with pineapple in it.
I love
that. And I would just say they're kind of like maybe not quite sweet enough for a Western palate, but I actually think crushed up in like a ice cream or something, a soft serve, would be perfect for the Los Angeles area.
Now, the internet says that this is a Taiwanese treat.
Oh,
would you
maybe
concur?
That's it. That explains why.
I got that info from an internet site called The Walks of Life. So I don't know.
I wish we didn't do.
I don't know.
Put a pin in that. This may come up in a 1 minute segment later.
Sure.
It doesn't matter.
In Epcot.
Okay, wow.
In Epcot, there is a China pavilion.
Yes.
And the cocktail. So now, when you do drinking around the world at Epcot, it is custom in Epcot, it is the culture of Epcot, to drink one cocktail from each pavilion.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So that by the time you get around, you've had 11.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
wait, how did
the one
what,
that
what, that's not continents or
no countries.
But just 11?
Well, they pick. Yeah.
Okay,
I believe
11 emblematic countries of the
world. Let's see if I can name them in order. Ready? Go. Mexico, Norway, China.
Uh-huh.
Then I believe comes, then it gets fuzzy for me. I know there's a Morocco. I know there's a France. I know there's an England. I know there's a United States pavilion. I know there's a
Japan.
There's a... Canada, there is.
Canada made it?
I said France, Canada has a pavilion.
Why? You just drink CC all day? You just drink Canadian Club whiskey?
Literally, I think what I had was like a Labatt Blue.
Get out of fucking town.
But anyway, the Chinese pavilion.
Oh, wait, when you guys were in Canada, did you notice that there are other colors of Labatt? Labatt?
No, I didn't know that.
This might be
we were in Vancouver though.
Cosmopolitan. So when I grew up in Michigan, the drinking age in Canada is 19. So we would drive across the.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we were in the one place where you can drive down to go to Canada.
Down? Oh,
because
it's
geometry. Michigan is like this, and like there's a little sliver of Canada under the thumb, I guess.
Yes,
technically. Anyways.
Different colors.
There's like Labatt Green and shit.
Oh, that's insane.
I don't know what flavors they are. I assume apple?
Oh, it's flavors. Green seems like non-alcoholic to me.
Yeah.
It might be. It very well might be. Well, Canadian listeners,
what is that?
Hack into the geocaching and, I don't know.
Hack into the China Pavilion.
Yes, sorry.
What they offer as a cocktail there is cantaloupe juice. With vodka.
No, thank you.
No.
Is that a thing?
No, thank you.
No.
Some
Chinese people like
fruit.
Improbable juices.
I
yes,
see.
Yes.
They will.
Thank you. We've been good. Improbable juices.
That's you can also go, you a can, fun runner for title of app. Improbable juices.
You can go to the That's Chinese good. Store, the 99 Ranch out in the San Gabriel Valley. You can get like a pint of kiwi juice.
See, that sounds lovely.
That's good. It's too. Kiwi. It's weirdly too sweet and too acidic at the same time.
But like,
because like. Oh, yeah. That's a lot of. It's like probably like 10.
I don't like
kiwis.
An aggressive juice.
It's real aggressive.
But, okay, but going but yeah. back to the cantaloupe thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Not at all emblematic of Chinese.
Yeah, but I it was weird. I didn't know what I was expecting there, but I was like, at Mexico, I had obviously I had had like a margarita, mm-hmm. and sure. then in Norway, mm-hmm. I had like a Carlsberg like lager, like a nice mm-hmm. good sure. yeah, yeah. European beer, great. And then I went to the China Pavilion, and I really don't know what I was expecting. I guess like.
It actually sounds like that was the China Pavilion, so it's like a shitty Chinese restaurant.
Oh,
pavilion.
But what like, would you think it would be like? A like Mai Tai?
Like a no, like a like a lychee martini?
Maybe. Yeah.
Like truly.
Plum wine? If it's palatable for people.
You know what? I think that they might have offered plum wine, but I had already drank two different kinds of liquor, and so I was like, am I really gonna fuck myself
so
this way?
Plum wine, you can like feel your teeth dissolving. It's so no. sweet.
I've
it's,
had
it's
plum wine.
It's unreal.
You
how
know,
sweet
I believe
is.
That's what they served at Cottage. Remember we used to go to Cottage.
Oh, that was disgusting.
We used to go to this place. It was one of the only places
that didn't card.
Sorry, that didn't card in New York, and we would go for it when we were younger.
Oh,
in
sure.
Mm, and it was yeah. like,
was that wait, what, where that was on like Bowery?
It was in Bowery.
Yes.
No. It was an no. Irving place.
Oh.
And
okay,
if you spent,
I think it's someplace different.
If you bought like more than an entree, more than $8.99, right?
Yeah.
They let you drink all the wine you could drink.
Yes.
So I had
wait.
My birthday there.
Okay.
It was,
we, they,
it was that.
It was the same business model at the one by Columbia.
Oh.
It was this exact same yep. shit.
Well,
so much goddamn wine.
They
yeah,
did
okay.
not
yeah.
ever ask for identification. I
correct.
Believe it was my 20th birthday.
Sure.
We went there and like went to fucking town.
I think I'm significantly older than you guys. They used to not card a decibel when I was in
what's decibel?
That like Japanese place on like 10th and 2nd.
Okay.
When did you live in New York?
98 through 2009.
Nice.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Yeah, 11 year streak.
I put in a while, but yeah.
When I was
I didn't
in
know you were that much older than us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
you,
dog.
You're looking
baby.
Fucking
he's
right.
Cryogenically
you.
Frozen.
You look exactly right.
When I was a child trying to drink underage, we went to into San Francisco and we went to a drag queen bar called Asia SF that must be gone now, but it was so delightful and they did not card you, but you could not talk during the performances.
Oh, I love
like,
that.
Like they were basically like, you better fucking behave and we'll let you little assholes get fucked up. But like
yeah.
you will watch. You will watch us sing.
That's
you will
great.
Watch us do these numbers.
You will watch us sing.
And it was great. And you could eat like very overpriced, terrible chicken wings and just like drink like I at the time we were all trying to drink Cosmos because
of Sex in the City.
I never even watched Sex in the City. I just overheard my girlfriends talking about it.
Yeah.
And was like, I guess I want the pink thing that's hard to hold.
Yeah, it was a part of the culture.
Uh-huh. What is a Cosmo?
It's a pink martini. It's
okay.
in a stupid
right.
glass.
It's a vodka martini with like,
right.
What? Like
I think this is like
cranberry
the,
juice
one of the worst
lime.
Like straight guy things is I realize I only know it as a punchline from the worst people on earth. Like,
yeah.
Truly.
Cosmo.
No association of Sex in the City though?
No. Because of that.
That snuck into the lexicon. Also, by the way, I watched the Sex in the City in the movie. The Sex in the City movie on the plane.
First one.
Mm-hmm. The movie is pretty good.
It's
I'll
fun.
Tell you. I'll tell you what is bad about it. Mr. Big as a character is psychotically unrealistic.
Sure,
that man does not exist on this planet. Like the things he does in that movie don't make any fucking
sense. The wedding doesn't make any sense.
No, that he just leaves her at the altar, like at her wedding at the New York Public Library. Are you fucking kidding?
Yeah.
Like, and then he's like, "What am I doing? We have to go back." And then she's like. She hits him with the.
I knew you would do this. I knew you.
And I was like, okay, so
I
you.
No, let me do it.
I mean, humiliated. And then don't they go to Mexico and she shames Miranda for not waxing? And I was like, what is the message?
Samantha shames Miranda for not waxing.
What
and then Miranda
the
completely overreacts. And she's like, what? So, like, I made my husband cheat on me because I don't care. And it was just like these women were acting insane.
Oh.
But as insane as they were acting, Mr. Big as a character is the most unrealistic piece of shit. And also, Actually, now I know. I don't think so.
Huh? Oh, okay.
I had never seen any of the Sex and the City television program, so when I saw the movie, I was like, why do I care about any of these people?
That was a false way to do it.
But it was a nice way to learn about Jennifer Hudson.
Oh my God, she's truly god-awful in that movie, I'll tell you.
She is bad.
Why did you get to New York?
St. Louise.
It was after.
It was after. It was like an easy get for her to get.
It was like a way to see her in another light.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah.
As an assistant.
Her agents did well. Why did you move to New York?
To fall in love.
Now, I have to ask Andrew one thing. Just I'm fresh off of this first tattoo.
Where are yours?
I just have one.
Oh, and I'm truly just like waiting for the parental reaction to this. Not that it like matters.
Oh, yeah. How was yours? The only one I felt bad about was my grandpa was like kind of like, you know, bummed about it. Like, visibly bummed about it.
Oh, damn.
That was the only one. I mean, look, I have a whatever relationship with my parents as it is. So I was just like, that was like,
whatever.
Deal with it. Yeah. I kind of liked the deal with it of it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
But it was fine. They're very cool about it. But my grandpa was, and my grandpa ultimately, like, he passed away, but he was fine with it.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what to say, but that was the only moment where I was, and my grandma was cool with it. She was like, oh, it looks cool. But the one thing I will say is that mine is like old, and it's still like kind of bumpy and whatnot.
Oh,
like,
really?
I think my skin does not take well to...
Just his trying to reject it still.
It's still, yeah, it still hates it.
Stabbing away.
Yours looks good, though.
Yours looks okay. Cool.
It's a little, I mean, like they didn't fully align the diagonals, which I kind of like. I kind of like that it's kind of imperfect.
It looks great.
Yeah, I was noticing that it looks a little rugged on the bottom.
Sure. But that's just, you know... That's
rugged on the bottom, the Bo and Yang story.
Ooh, yeah. baby.
Baby.
Wow. What were we talking about? Cosmos. Oh, Sex and the City.
Go ahead. No. I mean, I have nothing else to say.
I have nothing else to say, but I am just reminding Matt that that's what is. I don't think so, and he will be.
Thank you for the reminder. I didn't forget, but thank you.
Good.
Great. I think it's time to move on to our segment, which is called I Don't Think So, Honey, which is our segment in which we take 1 minute of time to rant against something in culture that, you know what? We actually hate, and we need to talk about. And in bringing up the Sex and the City movie and the plot points therein, I have my I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay. Mm. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, the whole idea that Sex and the City ends with Carrie getting with Big because Big is emotionally abusive.
Oh.
Big is the emblem of sublimating yourself to a man. It is crazy that, like, Sarah Jessica Parker as Carrie Bradshaw is this feminist icon, and then she would return to a man who publicly humiliates her, like, not just once. Mm-hmm. Also, he fully treats her like garbage the entire series long.
30 seconds.
And what is so aspirational about him besides his, like, money and the fact that, like, there's some intrigue with these guys that, like, are dicks. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like, a fuckboy before we had the term for fuckboy. Uh-huh. That's obvious to me.
15 seconds.
He's fine. Also, he fully, like, is a dick to her friends. Like, it's really, really annoying. I don't know if I like Aiden better for him.
5 seconds.
Better than him. But I would say maybe Carrie should be single. I don't think so, honey.
And that's 1 minute. That was beautiful.
That was beautiful. Very take tame, down to especially compared to the energy of this whole insane episode. I feel like I Don't Think So, Honey was actually one of the most grounded things we've heard.
Well, because he was rationalizing a lot.
It was real.
I feel, and I often feel like with I Don't Think So, Honey, I finally find what I'm going to say at the very end.
Yeah.
And what I would like to say definitively about Sarah Jessica Parker, aka Carrie Bradshaw, marrying Chris Noth, aka Mr. Big, is his name was John.
I know.
When did they learn that?
Wasn't it hidden?
In the last episode of the last series, you find out that his name is John.
Oh, boo.
And I'm like, okay, so it wasn't even like he was more.
No, I think you find out in
paper.
The movie.
No, you find out in the last episode of the show.
All right.
I haven't seen much of any of that show or movie, but I did. The second one is basically like an incitement to class warfare.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They go to Dubai.
They're incredibly insensitive.
Yeah.
And they should never be there. It's essentially a 2.5 hour long commercial for Dubai.
Yeah.
But they're incredibly disrespectful.
But that must have been that and Fast and Furious 8, whichever one that's in Dubai also. Right. Felt like it was shot like with the same crew. Just like they just rolled straight into the other movie.
Absolutely. Well, you always know. You always know in these movies when like they're just doing a commercial for a tourism in another country. Like whenever they go there for no fucking reason, which happens, which also I believe happens in Black Panther.
To Dubai, Japan? They go to Korea.
They go
to
Korea.
Like whenever they go to another country, and it's just like,
Well,
Dubai, it happens the most.
Well, yeah, because I suspect there's a lot of, well, I mean, like so many movies, like take a jaunt to China or like, again, and that's have like a Chinese DJ or whatever part of the gang who they don't like or talk to. But that is just like, so like, I think it's got to be just like white movie execs being like,
there's money in Asian
We got to make these people feel like they're part of it. We totally. Need them to be our audience.
But actually like, if you notice it, which I'm sure you have, like more often than not now, these big action films will include like one of the set pieces will include like an Eastern country.
They do now different cuts. That like there's a whole I guess Iron Man 3 has fully 10 more minutes that are just like him. Isn't China amazing?
Yeah.
Like apparently. I haven't seen it. But
I believe it just because it's such a huge part of the world now in terms of like where film is consumed and it's such a huge market. I mean, we were talking about this the other day, or not the other day, like I was talking about I believe Guy Branum was the one that brought it up, and he was saying, like, you know, it used to be that you could have like a mainstream film that didn't need to appeal to international audiences, now, specifically the Asian market, but that has changed now. Like, in order to be like an internationally bankable movie star, it's very important that you appeal to the Chinese market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is bizarre.
Yeah.
Like as a Chinese person, I find it.
Well,
like,
it's trying to appeal to the culture, but it's also trying to like.
But then the culture is being like so.
And it's also, it's like people, it's like. People like us are the closest that a lot of the people that make decisions get to that culture. Yes. And we're not that close,
and we're
to,
not
the target
that close
culture.
To the target culture. And then it's like, and then the target culture overseas are the types of people who would build a fake Paris.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Also, although, you know what? I'm down with that. But that's separate. That's
also
separate.
When you say we have to open it up to that culture, what you're also saying is like, we have to like, in a way, limit diversity and like representation, because like they could, for example, they could, I bet Love, Simon wasn't released there. You know what I mean? I bet in terms of gay stories, they're not culturally ready to
see
that.
They edited, I mean, this is the joke was, it was the movie already, but they further edited Bohemian Rhapsody. So
to include
the
no.
There's literally no gay stuff at all.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing that the Chinese government hates is ghosts.
And Winnie the Pooh.
Because what? Is it because they're actually scared of them?
I think unclear. I think it's because a lot of like the dissident cultural movements are around things like spirits and ancestral worship.
Yeah,
and
right.
Like,
so there is an element of fear of God in a way.
Of any kind of spirit. But I think the same with Winnie the Pooh is like, don't talk to imaginary things.
With Winnie the Pooh, it's specifically that
no pants.
It's the Prime Minister Xi Jinping. For whatever reason, it's this dumb meme that I still have not made sense around. Like, I still don't know why the people compare him to Winnie the Pooh, but like, it's this joke. It's this meme that people, like, he looks like Winnie the Pooh. He doesn't.
Weird.
To me, he does not look like Winnie the Pooh. But like, as a cultural image, like Kingdom Hearts 3 came out and they cut out the Winnie the Pooh stuff. And like Winnie the Pooh does not, you cannot find Winnie the Pooh anything in China.
That's crazy.
It's because he's a full
Jewish Hapa, hot associate producer Alec knows.
It's because he used to date someone named Christopher Robin.
That makes sense.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, and it must appeal to the Chinese market.
Yes.
And his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, expensive t-shirts. I'm wearing one right now. Expensive t-shirts. A t-shirt should cost $5 at most. And yet I'm being suckered into paying for these $90 t-shirts. Why? Because Urban Outfitters. Urban Outfitters was the beginning of the end for t-shirts, for fucking conning the entire world into paying more than $5 for a t-shirt. And you know what? This is my appeal to the Chinese market. I'm wearing Comme des Garçons. I'm being very... very stereotypical for an Asian.
Seconds.
It's very so Asian to wear. But I feel like a fool. I feel it's like an emperor's new clothes kind of thing, where now I finally I'm snapping out of it, and I'm looking at myself. I'm going, what am I wearing? Oh my God, it's a $90 t-shirt.
15.
I can only pay Old Navy all the way. Bring back Old Navy. Old Navy is queen. Old Navy is canon. Buy all your t-shirts at Old Navy, and then silk screen whatever you would like onto that, or buy our t-shirts at tpublic.com/store/lostculturistas.
Yes. And that's 1 minute.
Where you plug the merch. God,
it is what a degree of difficulty.
So insane to me that what? You would dare get on this podcast and say, I don't think so, honey. Expensive t-shirts. There is nothing you enjoy more than buying clothing that is 200% to 300% more expensive than it should be.
I'm saying
love it.
No, but I'm rounding a corner now where I'm just like, clothes should not cost this much.
Yeah, they shouldn't. But they also don't. It's the stuff that you buy.
Yeah. No, I'm realizing this. This is a moment of self-awareness. I'm leveling up. This is my journey.
Okay. I want to see two things from you going forward. I want to see two things from you going forward. And if I don't see them, I'm filing for a divorce.
What? Go.
One, no cigarettes.
Okay.
Two, no expensive designer t-shirts. You can just, you want to buy an expensive designer sweater, whatever, fine.
But a t-shirt,
T-shirt,
no.
Bitch!
No, I know.
Honey.
I know. Mm-mm. It just, none of it aligns. None of it makes sense. Okay.
This is Tawny Newsom's.
Can I confess something to you?
Yes. What?
Now, classically and famously, I do not plan things. So
yes. Oh, neither do we.
Is there a trollable option here? Okay, is that possible for the recorded I know it's possible for the live show, but I did not know.
Yes, we can pull one up right now.
I haven't heard someone do it on the recorded thing in a while, in studio.
Yes, because people don't, closed mouths don't get fed. People don't ask for it. And the fact that you're asking for it is a huge deal.
Thank you so much. I famously will not plan a thing.
I have something.
Okay, I can't read what you're pointing at, so you go.
Tawny.
Yes.
Your I Don't Think So Honey troll bowl topic is Salma Hayek.
And your time starts now.
I don't think so, honey, Salma Hayek, because I have been forever confused if it is Selma or Salma. I do not know if it is an A that we are pronouncing as an E, or if it is an E that we are pronouncing as an A.
Oh.
Maybe it's an A we're saying as an A, and I have just had the problem this whole time. Salma Hayek, I don't think so, honey. You made the blunt cut very fashionable, and I could not have one when I was that age. My hair would not do it. So I don't think so, honey, you making me want something I could not have. I don't think so, honey, you essentially being the Latina Chloe Sevigny. You are both chic and you're basically a clothes hanger. Your shoulders seem to just want silk caressing them, and it makes me jealous. Your canon of work is good. However, I haven't seen you in a while. I don't think so, honey. Where have you been? Probably raising children, in which case my hat is off to you.
15 seconds.
Or doing anything else. You're allowed to have a life. Why are people on you about what your career is? Everyone should leave you alone. I don't think so, honey. The people who won't leave Selma or Salma Hayek alone.
5 seconds.
I don't think so. I didn't know that you weren't Johnny Depp's girlfriend for a while.
And that is 1 minute.
Does she ever date Johnny Depp?
I don't think so.
Just in vibe and movies.
So we should say flat out it is Salma.
Okay. Well.
And my
so it is an
least
A.
favorite thing about Salma Hayek is she talks at this speed.
Who said this?
This is Salma. This
her?
Is the,
oh.
Oh, that's
this
her.
Is the pace at which Salma Hayek speaks.
Also, but English is a second language, you know.
No, I think it's just
her vibe.
Her vibe.
Okay.
It's just discipline.
It's kind
just
of a have cool the vibe. Discipline.
But I respect Salma Hayek because of Frida. Yes. I thought she was very good in Frida, and also robbed. I respect her because she had a really hard time with Weinstein on that film. And
that was
her passion project. And
you're
she right. fought till she was like sick. To make that work. Yeah.
But importantly, Tawny does not respect her.
So that's the thing we apparently, all I learned tonight that I don't.
Of course. We all have to keep
and
in mind.
And that's fine. And that's beautiful.
But when I leave this room, I will go back to respecting her.
Yeah.
She looks great in a choker.
Absolutely. Oh.
She always rocked a choker.
And you know, famously.
Or bare-necked.
Beautiful, gorgeous woman. Bombshell.
Yeah.
Why did this get so weird? The way you complimented her was
is weird.
It's because I'm straight.
Odd. It doesn't feel like it.
I'm keeping my fucking mouth shut. She is to me famously the person who is short but like seems monstrously tall.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, she's like actually quite short.
She's the best friend of Penelope Cruz, and I bet they're both like tiny, but when they stand together, you would think Penelope Cruz was a giraffe.
Like they're people you look over to see an ATM.
Yes.
Here's Speaking of that vague, that look, this is my other gross straight guy confession, is at the Emmys? Was it the Emmys or the Grammys or whatever? I did not know that Kacey Musgraves was not Nelly Furtado for fully an hour.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
I just couldn't tell.
I see that.
I just didn't know what was happening. I was literally like, why the fuck is Nelly Furtado singing with Dolly Parton right now?
Wow,
this doesn't
psycho.
Make any sense. I know.
No, I get it. I get
How
it.
Do you get it?
They just all look the same to me.
There you go. And there you go. These little, these mousy little songstresses.
They the same?
Running around.
What? All women look the same to you?
I want to report Matt Rogers has eaten his Asian pear down to now the size of a key lime.
You did it.
Congratulations.
It's a golf ball. You're playing all the sports with that pear.
I really enjoyed it, you guys.
It's good.
It's a good fruit.
I threw mine away when it got like wiffle ball sized.
Should there the title of that be Asian pears?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Asian pears.
What was the other one?
Panthers are out there.
Panthers are out there.
And
I
then
love.
Improbable Juices
is also very good.
We've got some good candidates.
We have some good candidates.
We will counsel on this.
Win on the Patreon.
Yes. Oh, we should just say right here.
Do you guys have a Patreon?
We do. We have not added new content to it for months and months.
The Patreon's dead.
We're so sorry for the people who still supported us, but thank you for supporting us.
I do RuPaul's Drag Race reviews and recaps now on What the Tuck.
And Matt and I are on different coasts now, so it's just harder to keep up, and we don't want to take your money while we don't put out content that's specifically for a smaller audience, and so therefore we will be shuttering that.
Bo and
quickly.
Yang and I are in an LDPR, a long distance podcast relationship.
There you go. Mm.
So what I'm hearing is you guys have too much money and you can't accept it from
Oh, I would love away. I would love that money. But
my bank account won't allow more money.
Oh, it's you you it's hit
full.
The top.
My bank account is full.
If you get any more money, it actually rolls over to zero.
Yeah.
Brewster's Millions.
You don't like want to top off.
It's like that. So every day I have to buy a million things.
Yeah.
Did you? I don't know if you got. So when Tawny was in
Vancouver,
when she was in Atlanta, maybe Vancouver also, but
she stays booked.
Oh,
when Tawny was.
No.
You have to cut that.
No, absolutely not.
It was half an inside joke, but also it sounds horrible. Anyway, go.
No, it was okay. But we had a month or two where we were doing remote episodes.
Yes.
Tawny on the phone. And Earwolf set her up with maybe the most hilarious thing I've ever seen, which is like a portable VO booth that was about, I don't know, 1.5 feet, you know, cube of
cubic
felt.
Feet.
Sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That you basically had to put the microphone in and then stick your head in to talk it. And she sent a picture of it. I'll see if I can find it. Keep talking about it.
Her head in a box?
It was the funniest shit I've ever seen.
What's in the
bag? It was,
Trondy Newman.
Well, we do have to do Andrew.
Okay,
Andrew
Cheese.
I don't think so, honey. Do you have something prepared?
Yeah.
I mean,
vaguely prepared. And also, if you listened to, it's different than what I did at
the live.
I don't think so, honey. Live,
but
it's
here
a lot
we go.
Of similar themes.
Here's Andrew's I don't think so, honey. And his time starts now.
Boy. I don't think so, honey, to Asian Twitter being on that first draft tip.
Oh.
I just am very... just today... I forget what it was, but every time Scarlett Johansson... It was that Shang-Chi is about to be the first Marvel superhero.
Yes.
And I just knew that so many Asian Twitter people, who I love many of them, were going to say, I thought Black Widow was the first Asian superhero because of Scarlett Johansson. And I'm just thinking, and this is my plea both to Asian Twitter and to all marginalized communities, because I know we've had to put up with a lot of shitty comedy forever, but I just really, really want us to just... Second draft it.
Yeah.
We are in a time of Asian... I'm sitting in a room with Asian comedic excellence, and I just...
5 seconds.
We could do better. Please do better. I love you so much, but please do better.
And that's 1 minute. It's never good to be a first thought.
Thank you so much.
I'm
next?
So bummed out by it.
What's next? Hear the thing after the thing.
Yeah. Not good to be first thought.
I just can't go to a place where people... I just cannot validate any tweets. After they announced Emma Stone is hosting with BTS as musical guest, and a lot of people have been like... Wow, an Asian episode, an all-Asian episode. I'm like, y'all.
Oh my
we can
God.
Do better.
We can
do better.
Better.
There's literally been millions of jokes about
it's
that.
It's like, yes, you gotta do better.
I know. And I get the instinct. Look,
Look.
We all have the thought.
It's a shared thought.
Just don't put it out there.
That's what some comedy. So that's what some comedy is.
Yeah,
it's a shared thought.
It's an observation that other people share with you, but.
But we've observed
we've
it.
We've observed it.
And all the versions of it.
Mm-hmm. So many lessons on this episode.
A lot of lessons. Oh, I mean, so many lessons on Yo, Is This Racist?
And here's the thing is you said that when you listen to their podcast that you become smarter. And who knew that as a result of them coming to Las Culturistas.
With their pairs. With Andrew's pairs.
With the pairs. Yeah. They have made this pair.
The podcast.
They have made this pair, and I'm pointing to you and I, much smarter.
This is a smarter pair.
I would also say, may I take the floor?
You may.
Please.
I would like to say that coming on this podcast with Andrew's pairs that he graciously
which are your pairs.
Sure. Yeah. And watching this pair, and now I am pointing at the two Chinese gentlemen in the room.
Tight.
Watching them have very tender cultural moments that they don't get to have very often was very enriching for me. So while I'm also smarter, but I also feel privileged and honored to have been able to crunch along with my fellow white brethren and listen in.
You guys are more Chinese.
You guys are more Chinese.
I feel lucky. I'm staying away from the number four, right?
That's the deal? Yeah. Get away from the number four.
Well, okay. It's important that everyone knows I'm culturally Chinese-Iranian.
No.
I am. My parents are Bowen and Sudi. Inshallah, okay. No one comes for me when they listen to this.
Inshallah. And what do we say? What's your Chinese? What do you say in Chinese now? You don't have a Chinese phrase that you go to.
I don't, and so I would like one.
Okay.
What's one for Matt?
Oh, inshallah. Like, what's the equivalent of inshallah? God willing. So it's like. Oh, this is tough.
Yeah.
We'll come up with one. I'm having a
hard time. It has to be now.
Inshallah, it's like, oh, siwang, maybe, right?
Siwang.
Yeah. Siwang.
Well, that's just like, I hope. But you don't really say
like
Shiwang, a lot of people listen to this.
That's really good.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
And
Shiwang, everyone listens to this.
Shiwang. Was me. I or I.
Literally match our pitch.
Shiwang.
People listen to this.
Shiwang. People listen to this.
Honestly, that was pretty good.
I mean, but Matt's a musical person. I think he would pick up Mandarin.
Yeah, the tones are a lot better. Honestly, a lot better than... my cousin is dating this white guy who lived in Shanghai for like 9 years. And so she's like a Chinese girl from San Diego who like, you know, never really embraced any Asianness. And her white boyfriend, his accent is not great, but his vocabulary is expansive. And so it is hugely embarrassing
for
me.
So weird.
So,
right?
So that is me.
Yes.
I. Like if I wanted to express myself.
Siwang is hope.
Yeah.
Siwang.
Yeah.
Ooh, Siwang. I like it.
Pretty good.
That sounds
very
beautiful.
Good.
Whoa. And Siwang.
Can I take the floor now?
Yeah.
Please.
Really, really enjoyed the conversation, the musical interludes, the references to Trisha,
so great.
To Leanne, to Shania, and then what was the harmony song?
That was Walk Away Joe.
Walk Away Joe. I mean, truly beautiful.
It was really great.
A meeting of the minds musically.
Thank you so much.
And I feel not only smarter, but I was able to see this pair come together musically, and that is beautiful. Two beautiful vocalists.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are a pair.
And you know that we are a pair. And you know that what we do, and please listen to Yo, Is This Racist? And what we do at the end of every episode is we do end with a song.
We end
it
with a song. Mm. And so... And it comes to us very naturally.
How do I get through a night without you? If I had to live without you, what kind of love would that be? Oh, I need you in my arms, need you to hold. You're my world, my heart, my soul.
I want to know
how do I breathe without you? If you ever go, how do I ever survive? How do I? Leanne Rimes.
Okay. Oh.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of six fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, add images, graphics, charts, and data visualizations from the massive media library. It's easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations. Canva presentations are perfect for any deck you want to design for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can nail their presentation with Canva presentations. Perfect, record, and share a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. You'll appear in a video as a talking head on the slide, and it's the perfect solution if you can't be present in person or if time zones are tricky. Nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.